Grace be unto you in peace from our triune God, the God who by his power and by his grace made you a member of his church, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of our risen Lord and Savior, have you ever heard a song called Temporary Home? It's sung by Carrie Underwood. I haven't heard this song on the radio for a while now, but I love this song. I love the message that this song proclaims. I think the message of this song ties in very well with a central message of Scripture. This song has three stanzas to it. The first stanza focuses on a six-year-old boy who is being brought into yet another foster home. The second stanza centers our thoughts on a young mom and her little baby girl as they settle into a shelter situation. And the third stanza talks about an old man in a hospital bed, surrounded by all of the people whom he loves. The stanza, the refrain that ties all three of these stanzas together goes like this. This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This is just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know that this is my temporary home. If you have never experienced this reality in your own personal life, my friends, you will. No matter how long you have lived in the house that you call home, it's only temporary. No matter how big or how small your home might be, it is only temporary. No matter whether your home is located in a very safe neighborhood with all of the amenities that anyone could ever possibly want, or whether your home is in a not-so-safe neighborhood and you feel uncomfortable walking around alone, it is only temporary. My goal this morning, my friends, is twofold. First of all, my goal is that if the Lord has blessed you with a safe, secure, and stable life, I want to use this portion of God's holy word to help you see and to help you rejoice in the fact that even though our life here in this world is only temporary, the best is yet to come. At the same time, if for one reason or another, the Lord has allowed difficulties and hardships to come into your life, my goal is to use this portion of Scripture to help you see that one day this too shall pass, and the best is yet to come. With those two goals in mind, let's see how this portion of God's holy word paints an absolutely amazing picture for you and for me. The title of this picture is, This is Our Permanent Home. There are three questions that we want to address on the basis of this text. First, where is our permanent home? Second, who will live in our permanent home? And third, what will our life be like when we get to our permanent home? Where is our permanent home? God the Holy Spirit addressed that question when he led the Apostle John to write these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. When I read these passages of Scripture in the light of other passages that we'll look at in just a little bit, it's clear to me that Scripture teaches that once all of the events of Judgment Day are over, our new permanent home will be right here on a new permanent earth. Let me explain to you why I believe that. When John says that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, I automatically think of what the Holy Spirit reveals to us through his servant Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we are told that on the great day of the Lord, which is the day that the risen Christ returns to this earth in all of his power and majesty and glory, on the great day of the Lord, this world as we know it will be destroyed by fire. Now that can mean one of two things. Either it can mean that the fire at the end of the age is going to annihilate this world that you and I know, and the Almighty will create a new heavens and a new earth. Or it could mean that the fire at the end of the age is going to purify this world. Peter then goes on to tell us, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Even though time, as we now understand it, will no longer exist, this is how I envision the events of Judgment Day unfolding. First, the heavens will open, and the victorious Lord Christ will come back to this earth as the judge of the living and the dead. Then all of the dead will rise from their graves with the dead in Christ. That is, those who died believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior, being given the privilege of rising first. Then all of the believers who are still alive here on this earth when Jesus returns will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Then the entire human race, all of humanity, will be separated into one of two groups, the sheep and the goats, the believers and the unbelievers. Then their eternal judgment will be publicly pronounced for everyone to hear, with all of the unbelievers being confined to hell with Satan and all of his evil angels, and all of the believers will then be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then the earth as we know it will be purified by fire. And finally, we, the children of God, will inherit a new heaven and a new earth as our permanent home, the home of righteousness, as it's described in the book of Revelation. Imagine what that's going to be like, my friends. Imagine the entire world completely free from all of the effects of sin. Imagine a world in which Satan and temptation no longer exist. Imagine the perfection of the Garden of Eden on a worldwide scale. That's our new home that the Lord will give us on a new permanent earth. Now, while this subject fascinates me, and there's a great deal more we could talk about, there is some more scripture that we have before us this morning. So let's go to the second question. Who will live in our new permanent home? God the Holy Spirit addressed that question when he led the Apostle John to write, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Who will live in our new permanent home? To me, the scriptural answer to that question is very simple and very clear. Since the Bible equates the picture of the bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, with the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and since the Bible very clearly teaches that when Jesus returns to this earth at the end of the age, he will bring with him all his holy ones, all the saints, all of our loved ones who are now living with him in heaven above, to me it's clear that the Bible teaches that all Christians, that is absolutely everyone who believes and trusts in Jesus as their only Savior from sin, will live in our new permanent home. And then, in a way that goes far beyond our comprehension. John tells us in our text that the triune God himself will live with us in our new permanent home. Every time I come across this truth in Scripture, I automatically think of Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. There we are told that in the Garden of Eden, the Lord God would come down and walk in the garden in the cool of the day. Imagine that picture in your minds, my friends. Imagine the Lord God himself will dwell among us, his dearly beloved people. Imagine that we will be living in the very presence of the one and only true God. We will see him face to face. We will talk with him anytime we want. We will praise him for all of eternity. Now that's something to look forward to. Our final question for this morning is, what will our life be like in our new permanent home? God the Holy Spirit addressed that question when he led the Apostle John to write, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. For the Christians who first heard these words, Christians who were being persecuted because of their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior, these words must have been a tremendous source of comfort. Likewise, for Christians today, who are still being persecuted and ridiculed because of their faith and trust in Jesus as this world's only Savior from sin, for Christians who are suffering from the difficulties of old age or the effects of illness or disease, for Christians who are enduring any pain of any kind, these words are still a tremendous source of comfort. Why? Because in our new home, the Lord God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. In our new home, the Lord God himself will banish anything and everything that could possibly cause us pain or sadness. In our new home, our permanent home, the one who was willing to suffer and die to take away our sins, the one who physically rose from the dead on Easter Sunday to prove that he is the victor over sin, death, and the devil, the one who is now sitting on the throne of God's kingdom and will rule over God's kingdom forever and ever. This is the one who has promised us. Yes, he has promised us, I am making everything new. Imagine, my friends. Imagine the fact that you will enjoy a new life in your new permanent home, a perfect life, a glorious life, a life that is overflowing with joy and with happiness. That glorious truth is what enables us to confidently say along with the Apostle Paul, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's what our life will be like in our new permanent home. Now let's go back to those two goals that I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon. If in his grace, the good Lord has blessed you with a safe, secure, and stable life, I encourage you to do two things. First of all, I encourage you to daily thank the Lord for the amazing grace that he so richly showers upon you. He is the reason that you have all of these wonderful blessings, these good and perfect gifts to enjoy. Secondly, I encourage you to consciously strive to make sure that you don't become so focused and so enthralled by the blessings that you enjoy in this life that you lose sight of the fact that the best is yet to come. Secondly, if for whatever reason the good Lord has allowed difficulties and hardships to come into your life, I encourage you to do two things. First of all, I encourage you to remember that like everything else in this world, Your hardships and your difficulties are only temporary. They're like the tiniest itty-bitty little dot on the timeline of eternity. The best is yet to come. And secondly, I encourage you to trust. To trust in the God who loves you so very much that he was willing to send his own son, his only begotten son, to live and to die and to rise again for you. Trust that he is in control of all things. Trust that he knows what he is doing. Trust that he will fulfill his promise and make sure that all things work together for your eternal spiritual good. My prayer then this morning, my friends, is actually quite simple. I pray that every time you turn into your driveway, every time you reach out to turn the doorknob on the house that you call home, that you will remember. Remember that no matter how long you have lived in that home, no matter how big or how small that home might be, no matter whether your home is in a nice, safe neighborhood with all of the amenities that anyone could want, or in a not-so-safe neighborhood where you're a little uncomfortable walking alone, remember how the words of this refrain apply to you. This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This is just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know that this is my temporary home. I also pray that every now and then you will go back and rejoice in the picture that the Holy Spirit paints for you here in Revelation chapter 21. Keep your eyes focused on the promises that your Savior God gives to you, and then you will always be able to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, look beyond the horizon of this world. Lift up your eyes and peer into eternity, and then confidently and joyfully say, "This is my permanent home." To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.